Sun.
Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are immediately setting the stage with one of the most persistent and, well, visually spectacular legends hiding in the shadows of modern record-keeping, Zetaphorce.
It really is quite a name, isn't it? Conjures up all sorts of images.
Absolutely. This story exists right at that perfect intersection of, say, Cold War paranoia and maybe 90s pop culture fantasy. The name alone, like you said, it sounds like something from a serial, and for good reason, apparently.
We are talking about a unique entity, a real-life operational unit, comprised of five highly trained teenagers, deployed specifically to handle the strange and the unknown.
Right. Well, we aren't here just to admire the glossy action figure version of the story.
No, exactly. Our mission today is to peel back that myth. We need to launch a deep analytical comparison between this captivating legend built around Zetaphorce and the stark, deeply unsettling facts recorded in the official mission files, particularly surrounding their 1999 vanishing.
That's the core tension we have to maintain. You, our listener, have asked us to perform a methodological deep dive into those specific documents, the ones relating to the disappearance, specifically focusing on the June 1999 Red Hollow incident.
Okay.
So our job is to use the procedural logs, the scarce physical evidence, to really distill the core conflict embedded in these sources. The tale describes color-coded heroes arriving in an armored transport. That's the spectacle component, clearly designed, almost marketed.
Yeah, the legend part. But the records, however, they detail a very precise moment of operational failure, a specific loss of signal, followed by the chilling absence of any physical struggle. We need to identify which pieces of information the project intended to fuel the global myth, and which simply remain isolated, anomalous, unexplained facts in a, frankly, heavily redacted government file. And the gap between those two realities, that's what makes this case so profoundly unsettling, isn't it? On one side, you've got the legend, costumed, super capable teenagers, the ultimate rapid response team.
Heroes.
Right. And on the other, you have this almost sterile procedural record. A high-tech vehicle found utterly empty on some remote stretch of abandoned land. We are looking for the point of collision, where the dramatic flair engineered by the project itself, the whole spectacle, met the cold, hard, terrifying reality of true, utter, unexplained disappearance.
So let's unpack this history. We should begin not with their vanishing, perhaps, but with their deliberate creation.
Good idea. Where did this whole thing even start?
Okay, so to understand the vanishing, we first have to rigorously analyze the architects of the program. Zetaphorce was officially founded in 1997, and the structure of its origin, it immediately signals high-level planning and an attempt at deep operational concealment.
So not just some side project.
Definitely not. This wasn't a small, isolated research effort. The sources confirm the project originated with a group of retired military scientists and engineers. Now, the choice of retired personnel, that's crucial.
Why?
Well, it suggests they had serious intent, access to advanced, likely highly compartmentalized resources. But their non-active duty status afforded the project immediate deniability,
Right.
distance from current military command structures, you see.
Ah, plausible deniability built right in. It's fascinating, though, the sheer audacity of the operational design. You have these highly experienced, serious-minded professionals choosing to execute their mission using a concept that leans so heavily into, pop culture spectacle.
It's almost like psychological warfare by design, perhaps.
Maybe. It definitely wasn't a volunteer effort. This was a project spun up to create a specialized rapid response team, capable of fielding in highly sensitive areas. And for the critical operational instruments of that team, they chose youth.
Precisely. Five highly intelligent and physically capable teenagers were recruited and trained. The reasoning for this choice, according to the project overview documents we have, was their supposed superior reaction time and mental plasticity.
Mental plasticity.
Yeah, the ability to process and adapt to radically new phenomena faster than, say, a seasoned, conventionally trained adult soldier might. They were intended to be a flexible response unit, deployed specifically for unexplained phenomena.
Like what kind of phenomena?
Anything from strange cryptids, unidentified lights in the sky, to aggressive electromagnetic disturbances. Even missing persons cases, where conventional forces were maybe inadequate or couldn't intervene without causing public panic.
I keep coming back to the use of youth, though. Why not, retired special forces? What did being a teenager offer this operation that experienced veterans couldn't? From my perspective, the mythologist's view, it elevates the stakes, the ultimate sacrifice of innocence, perhaps.
And procedurally, as you suggest, it highlights their use as highly responsive, maybe even high-risk, probes. They were the perfect candidates, arguably, to be thrown into situations classified as existing beyond known science.
Okay, so they're the instruments. How were they presented? This seems key to the legend part.
And this leads us straight to how they were visually presented, which was, ironically, crucial for maintaining their operational security while simultaneously ensuring they were unforgettable. If the mission was secret, the agents themselves were designed to be iconic.
Right, that's where the visual spectacle comes in. That's the undeniable heart of the legend. The source material emphasizes these durable, color-coded uniforms they wore, which instantly branded them as a coordinated team. Visual cohesion. It served two purposes. Internal morale, maybe, and external immediate recognition as a singular entity. And critically, they were required to wear dark visored helmets. We have an image of that, image one. This feature is essential, isn't it? Not just for protection, but for completely protecting their identities and creating that imposing, almost non-human visual spectacle when they arrived on scene.
They were the spectacle, hiding the secrecy beneath it.
Okay, so the look was deliberate. What about how they operated? The comms system.
The communication system. This further blurs that line between high-tech military gear and, well, mythic capability. Reports say the system felt almost psychic to those observing it.
Almost psychic. That definitely fuels the legend.
It does. But the procedural logs, they hint at highly advanced technical specifications. Instantaneous encrypted data transfer, possibly utilizing localized nonverbal cues or even high-frequency bone conduction, perhaps. This level of rapid, seamless communication would certainly appear telepathic to any outside observer accustomed to conventional radio chatter.
So it takes the narrative away from just standard military tech and elevates it into the realm of the unexplained phenomena they were supposed to be investigating. That rumor that their communication was psychic, it ensures their operational capacity remains sort of impossible, you know, perfect for generating a legend that resists factual dissection.
And the transportation system mirrors this dual nature, high-tech secrecy mixed with high public visibility. They traveled in what was described factually in the schematics as a black armored vehicle.
But it got a nickname, right?
It did. It was quickly nicknamed the Z-Mobile.
Yeah.
That moniker alone, it's a blend of serious protective functionality and pop culture branding. It ensured they had a memorable, singular signature.
The Z-Mobile. It sounds like something out of a comic book.
Exactly. Oh. But the design details suggest the black armor likely featured stealth coating, advanced counter-surveillance features, meant to evade detection when stationary. Yet it became known as this highly visible signature, appearing wherever there were reports of the strange or unknown.
The sources give us a really clear, almost unnerving visual of this duality. We have the description of that black van idling on the edge of a small, frightened town, image two. That image symbolizes the constant state of operational readiness, but also the secretive, almost spectral nature of their movements. It's a blend of overwhelming presence and utter silence. The Z-Mobile was designed to be functional and protective, but the choice of black armor combined with the team's loud color coding. They were never going to be truly invisible, were they?
No. They ensured that if they were ever compromised, the memory of them would remain loud and persistent. The spectacle was baked in. Okay, so we've established the architecture of the myth, the look, the feel, the tech. Now, we shift focus to where all that operational planning met, well, catastrophic failure. The Red Hollow incident. Right. The timeline is precise. June 1999. And the location is key, near the abandoned town of Red Hollow. That setting immediately adds an element of isolation, a bit of foreboding to the record, doesn't it? It does. Deep in a place already defined by absence and isolation, it makes their subsequent disappearance feel almost narratively inevitable in a way. But we need to stick to the facts here. What does the record actually say?
Okay, what are the cold hard facts?
The record must be our guide. The official procedural logs state with stark clarity that Zeta Force's signal was lost during the mission. This is the first cold fact, the cessation of communication. It marks the transition from active operation to critical incident.
Signal lost. Standard operational hazard, perhaps. Maybe initially. But what follows is the methodological detail that raises the first serious, frankly terrifying questions. The signal was lost for a duration of 72 hours before official recovery efforts even commenced. 72 hours. 3 days. That seems like a massive window when you're dealing with a high-value, rapid-response unit like this, especially one handling volatile, unexplained phenomena. Why the delay?
That 72-hour time span is the darkest procedural detail in the file, really. It suggests two possibilities, and both are deeply unsettling. First, significant procedural delay. a bureaucratic or high-level failure to launch recovery immediately, maybe due to political sensitivity or compartmentalization issues.
Like they were waiting for clearance?
Perhaps, waiting for a specific clearance that never arrived, or maybe the initial loss was just deemed a temporary technical glitch and they waited too long. The second possibility, and perhaps more chillingly, it suggests a deliberate operational silence maintained for 3 full days.
Deliberate silence, as in command knew they were dark but didn't move.
It's a possibility raised by the gap. Were they waiting for them to just reappear from an expected blackout period? Or was this a deliberate decision to cover or control the incident before the reality of their disappearance had to be acknowledged? This gap reinforces the secretive and highly controlled nature of the whole operation.
3 days of silence. It allows a narrative vacuum to form, doesn't it? And that vacuum gets immediately filled by speculation, by the legend.
Absolutely. And when the recovery team finally moved in after that agonizing wait, the findings were sparse. And by the standards of a potential struggle, basically non-existent. The Z-Mobile was eventually recovered, but the key detail documented repeatedly in the procedural logs, it was empty.
Empty. Just empty.
Empty. The armored doors were secured, but the occupants were gone. Crucially, the records state there were no signs of a struggle, no forced entry, no blood, no defensive scorch marks inside the cabin, no discarded gear, nothing.
The lack of struggle. That's the single most terrifying detail for me. As a mythologist, I expect battle damage, you know? The final stand of the hero against impossible odds. But the absence, it suggests something entirely different.
Methodologically, it suggests the mechanism of the vanishing was instantaneous, perhaps. Seamless. Or maybe non-physical entirely. 5 highly trained individuals, conditioned to face peril, disappeared without disturbing their immediate surroundings.
It doesn't fit the profile.
No. This lack of conflict directly contradicts the image of capable heroes, forcing the conclusion that their removal was either voluntary unlikely given the context instantaneous, or that they were dealing with a phenomenon that simply bypassed physical resistance entirely.
So the vast majority of the site was characterized by this sterile absence. But there was one singular physical artifact left at the scene, right? Something that stands in stark contrast to the general emptiness.
That's correct.
This piece of evidence is the only positive physical confirmation that something intensely and physically anomalous happened in that precise location.
Yes. That artifact was a single scorched mark on the ground, discovered approximately 15 feet from the rear of the empty Z-Mobile. The technical assessment of the mark indicates residue consistent with extreme thermal energy, suggesting a massive localized discharge of some kind.
A scorch mark.
And this scorch mark is where the legend and the rigorous physical record meet in a single unsettling symbol.
And the symbol itself is incredibly evocative. The mark is specifically described as resembling an inverted lightning bolt, image 3. That's not a common burn pattern from, say, an explosion or a fire.
No, it's highly specific.
An inverted lightning bolt pointing down. It has this powerful, almost classical symbolic resonance, doesn't it? A strike from above, perhaps?
Yeah.
Or maybe a signature of whatever entity or force was involved. It's the opposite of a triumphant symbol. It's a scar, pointing downward, marking the spot where 5 highly capable assets simply ceased to exist.
The methodological importance of this mark cannot be overstated. While we have 5 missing teens, an empty armored vehicle, and a 72-hour gap in the record, all pointing to absence, all we have left to study is this single piece of unique physical damage.
It's the only thing left.
Exactly. It defies a simple narrative fabrication, yet its shape, an inverted bolt, is so mythic, so symbolic, that it immediately fueled speculation. Electromagnetic weaponry, some kind of atmospheric discharge, even divine intervention theories popped up. It becomes the central point of contention and speculation, acting almost like the signature of the unknown force they encountered.
That inverted lightning bolt. It carries the entire weight of the mystery, doesn't it? Replacing the 5 teens themselves with an anonymous, terrifying calling card left burned into the earth.
So following the recovery of the Z-Mobile and the identification of that scorch mark, the documentary record regarding the 5 teens goes utterly silent. Officially, they were never seen again.
Just gone from the record.
Gone. This introduces a vast, overwhelming 9-year period of procedural silence following the 1999 vanishing. Methodologically, we really have to connect this 9-year gap to the recurring theme of operational erasure that we sometimes encounter in highly classified sources.
Ah, the idea we've talked about before, that the silence itself is the data point. The erasure is the evidence.
Exactly.
We see a parallel here, much like in the classified case of Klaus Richter, the agent known as Der Schatten, where his entire operational record from the S-87 bunker project was completely purged. In such cases, the principle holds true. Erasure becomes the evidence. So the completeness of Zeta Force's disappearance suggests what? Either a highly controlled event managed internally, maybe by the originating scientists.
Or a natural phenomenon, perhaps, capable of total seamless removal. Either way, the silence maintains the sterility of the operational record for nearly a decade.
But the narrative, the legend, it refused to stay silent, didn't it? In 2008, the entire conversation was violently expanded, challenged by an anonymous information release.
Right, the video.
Yeah. An anonymous, shaky video surfaces on some obscure online forum. It instantly challenges the finality of the 1999 record and reintroduces the visceral personal component of the spectacle. This single act of digital disobedience ensured the legend wouldn't die. It guaranteed its terrifying evolution.
And the anonymity of that video is crucial to our methodological critique. It is information that fundamentally resists verification. There's no traceable origin, no context provided, no reliable timestamp. It reinforces the narrative aspect of the legend rather than providing hard, usable evidence. It serves as a narrative ghost, essentially.
A ghost in the machine. But the video contents themselves, they are incredibly compelling and disturbing, regardless of where it came from. The footage, though fragmented and shaky, it appeared to show a figure in a red uniform.
Confirming the existence and specific nature of the color-coded gear, connecting it directly to the Zeta Force Red Ranger, presumably.
Yes. The figure was clearly visible, stumbling through woods, image for woods video, suggesting distress, maybe impairment, or perhaps some kind of uncontrolled transition. The setting is isolated, which reinforces the context of their original vanishing location in Red Hollow.
But what makes the footage truly transformative, the detail that lodged itself in the public imagination, is what's revealed when the figure turns towards the camera, however briefly.
Right. The figure was helmetless, revealing a profound and, frankly, shocking physical anomaly.
Completely black eyes.
Completely black eyes. No white, no discernible iris, just a continuous dark void. This detail immediately shifts the disappearance narrative from a simple unsolved mission of vanishing into a grotesque body horror scenario. It suggests that whatever happened at Red Hollow resulted not just in removal, but in some kind of fundamental physical corruption or transformation.
It provides a terrifying, yet as we said, completely unverified glimpse into the potential fate of at least one of the team members. It transforms the five missing teens in the abstract into five potential victims of biological or physical alteration. The black eyes become the new visual symbol, in a way, replacing the inverted lightning bolt in the popular mythos.
And the video doesn't offer any explanation, does it? It just ends.
Right. The concluding moments only add procedural obscurity, ensuring that the spectacle lasts only as long as the footage itself. The video ends abruptly, accompanied by a high-pitched noise, followed by an immediate cut. Image 5, high-pitched cutoff.
That sound.
That shrill tone and sudden termination, it could suggest acoustic interference, maybe potential damage to the recording device caused by whatever phenomena was present, or perhaps the intentional framing of the clip to maximize psychological distress and prevent any further visual context from being revealed. We simply don't know.
So the methodological critique here is that the video is almost perfectly designed to fuel endless speculation while providing zero verifiable answers. No one has ever claimed authorship of the footage, nor has the figure been definitively identified as one of the missing teens.
Correct. It simply exists as a ghost in the machine. A piece of information that refuses to be traced, but which successfully reinforced the idea that the Zeta Force members didn't just vanish, they were fundamentally and horrifically changed by the experience. It fed the spectacle, not the record. So if we try to synthesize the totality of the source material, the origins, the incident itself, and that long 9 years of silence followed by the anonymous video, a crucial conflict really emerges, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems unavoidable.
The military origins, designed for ultimate secrecy and deniability through things like compartmentalization and using retired personnel, were fundamentally undermined by the project's own commitment to visual elements, to its spectacle. Well, the decision to use color coding, distinctive uniforms, and that immediately nicknamed Z-Mobile. It ensured that if the team ever failed or disappeared, the story would become inherently public and mythic, even without official confirmation. The design itself, guaranteed notoriety.
Ah, I see. It's like the security measure itself guaranteed maximum visibility if something went wrong. They were designed to look like heroes, guaranteeing that their failure would leave a more resonant cultural scar than, say, a conventional military operation failure.
Precisely. The project designed itself to be memorable, guaranteeing that operational failure would lead to a lasting legend rather than just another classified file tucked away in some secure facility, which ties back directly to that uncomfortable theme we touched on earlier, the five teens being used as assets, as instruments for rapid response to unexplained phenomena. They were, in effect, disposable, highly trained assets built for exposure to the unknown.
It connects to a concept we've encountered in other procedural breakdowns, like that inspector story about the game of Monopoly, where the saying goes, the game trains you before it pays you.
In the case of Zeta Force, the training was intense, the purpose was serious. But the payment for that intense training seems to have been complete erasure. They were deployed into situations already classified as beyond known science. They were literally the first line of physical and psychological exposure to forces potentially beyond comprehension.
They were the experiment sent into the dark. And we have to consider what this implies about the very success or failure of the project itself. If the project's objective was to encounter and document the impossible, and the impossible, whatever it was, took the project whole, how do we classify that outcome? Was it failure or a horrifying kind of success?
That's a chilling thought. Let's do a final weighing then of the key elements we've explored today for the listener. On the legend side, we have the almost psychic comms, the triumphant color-coded visual, the black armored Z-Mobile ready for action. They embody capability, control, protection, the spectacle. Right. But on the record side, we have the undeniable facts that just defy that image of strength. The 72-hour signal loss, the empty vehicle suggesting instantaneous removal, the chilling lack of struggle, and that very specific unnerving symbol of the inverted lightning bolt burned into the ground. The legend is exciting. It's cinematic. The record is simply cold, unsettling, unexplained data. It provides no narrative verdict. It simply presents the facts of the absence and the anomaly.
So despite the sensational video footage years later and the mythology that followed.
Despite all that, the only definitive piece of physical evidence that exists outside of a shaky video clip or subjective report, the only thing that can be chemically analyzed, studied directly, is that unique scar on the ground at Red Hollow.
We have to conclude then by returning to that final powerful visual. The investigation found no body, no witness, no weapon. The narrative provides no closure, only that scar.
Only the scorch mark remains, pointing down like a struck match, marking the precise spot where the spectacle of Zeta Force was consumed by the unexplained record. Hashtag tag tag outro.
So this deep dive into the documents surrounding Zeta Force really shows us, I think, that knowledge often comes not just from what is present, the uniforms, the Z-Mobile, the project structure, but from what is dramatically and irrevocably missing. The teens themselves, any sign of struggle, any kind of resolution. We are left only with the architecture of the myth and a single piece of burned earth, a single point of catastrophic failure. And that leads us to a final provocative thought for you, the listener, to consider drawing on these themes. If the explicit objective of the Zeta Force project was to respond to unexplained phenomena, and they themselves ultimately became the unexplained phenomenon, does that suggest the project was successful in finding its subject? Or was the project always, in some deeper structural way, the subject itself destined for this outcome?